We failed to introduce one of my favorite girlfriends last night. It's Dr. Fuller forgot to introduce his daughter, Carla Fuller. Wave, Carla. She's back there. There you go. Last Saturday was Independence Day at Holden. Yesterday was Easter. In 11 days, we'll be celebrating Christmas. Today is Thanksgiving. And we'll open this Thanksgiving service with hymn 450. Turn to the Introitin Collect for Thanksgiving on page 115. And we'll do as Joanne did last night. The center section will join me in the collect, and the rest of you on the Introit. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Praise ye the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in the firmament of his power. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost. And was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, whose mercies are new unto us every morning, and who, though we have in no wise deserved thy goodness, dost abundantly provide for all our wants of body and soul, give us, we pray thee, thy Holy Spirit, that we may heartily acknowledge thy merciful goodness towards us, give thanks for all thy benefits, and serve thee in willing obedience through thy Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee and the Holy Ghost, one God, world without end. Amen. And now we're going to sing something that most of you probably haven't sung before. And yesterday I ran into someone who I knew as Marge Reese, whose songs and guitar I enjoyed many years ago, and now she's even more beautiful. And she has found Rich, and now her name is Roth, because that's what Rich's name is. And I engaged them to sing this song that you see before you. Now, if you don't have a 20/20 vision, they're going to sing the first verse. One man's voice can't shout to make them hear. Two man's voices can't shout to make them hear. But if two and two and 50 make a million, we'll see that day come round. We'll see that day come round. And all of it's the same except the first two lines. And they're pretty much the same too, except you go from one to two. And that's pretty easy. Now, when you finish that, you're going to sing it through first. And then you can all join that. And then we go to the next verse. Well, maybe you better say what that verse is, should we, or something, you know. Well, we'll try it. And then when we get down to one man's eye can't see the way ahead, and then if some of you have thought of something that you'd like to sing as a verse, you come through with it. And then we're going to finish up with one man's thanks won't make a great Thanksgiving. And then we sing the rest of that. And then I'll have something more to say to you. Should we set this down here, I bet? You like it better up here. Okay, now everybody has to join in on that.
Let's do that first one again.
Yep.
Can walk around the world.
which?
One man's hands can't serve a nation.
One man's hands can't serve a nation. Right? Then you have to pay for it. I will depart from a partially prepared text to make a few opening remarks, which are really longer than the partially prepared text. I don't mind admitting that Vespers are something else again for me. And I'm a real recruit at these, and I don't mind admitting that it really tears me up. Now, most of you celebrate Thanksgiving in November. I celebrate a few extras. Every time that I come to Holden, for me, it's a day of Thanksgiving. And this has happened 13 times, for this is my 13th trip here. 13 is a very lucky number for me, because I probably wouldn't be here today if a landing craft named number 13 didn't really break formation, which it wasn't supposed to do, and come back and pick me up since I had been washed overboard in a very terrible storm on the invasion of Sicily. So 13 is even greater than all the others. My Thanksgiving usually starts at 25 Mile Creek when I'm so happy and thankful for all the birds that are down there. It's a great bird watching place. Now, I know that some of you think that bird watchers should have two heads and all that kind of thing, but most of us don't. But we do have at least one. And so I'm grateful that I can sit there and listen to their beautiful song and watch them while I wait for the boat. And that I can also park my car, that we can't drive our cars here. We leave something behind that's sort of become a part of us, and we can't really drive here with our own cars, and I hope we never can. And then for the ride on the boat, when we can kind of shed our cares and we can meet some very interesting people. And I met some interesting people again on this trip. I sat behind some people from Toledo, from that Toledo congregation to whom I am so grateful, for whom I thank God, that they were the ones who, I guess on faith or something, most of them had never seen this place, and they bought us a lot of pipe to start our electrical generating plant. And I remember the days when the lights went off at 10. And sometimes I almost wish that were true again, but not very often. But the lights also went off at a lot of other times. So I'm most grateful to you. And I thank Pastor Meyer for this. And he says, well, I really didn't have a part of it because I was there before Pastor Wolf. But I'm sure that he tilled the soil on which this grew and this harvest came to us. And so I'm thankful for them, for him. And he told me that it was really a gung-ho congregation, that it was really a busy place. It was sort of a night and day proposition. And I really realized this when one of his members of his congregation told me that he could tell me how busy he was, because he, in September one year, was going to line him up for, he was lining up the programs in Rotary. And so he called up Meyer. He says, well, I better not try to get him until February. It's only September now, but that'll give him plenty of time. We can line it up. And he called up Pastor Meyer and said, well, how about February 9th for Rotary? And he says, just a minute, I'll look on my schedule. And he says, no, I can't make it. I got a funeral that day. Now, and then we, as we sort of pull into Lucerne, you know, we go by John and Pat's house, John and Pat Markowski. I don't see them here tonight, but are they here? You know, I thank God for them, not only in official capacity as representatives of Forest Service, but for all the wonderful things they do for us and what they mean to the village and their support of it. And then we pull up to the dock. And, you know, Horty, you can see Horty from a mile away. Huh? And I saw Horty. Now, Horty is one of the great men I know. Horty is just about everything. He's a counselor. He's a barber. He's a truck driver, plumber. He's a carpenter. He's helping build a sauna now, you know. And he's a great philosopher. He's a permanent philosopher at Holden Village. He's also an actor. And he was probably made the most... Were you here last 4th of July? I wasn't here this year, but last year, he was one of the great stars. And he probably made the most erudite observation on this village when he said, if we really understood this place, we'd have spoiled it. And then we came up the trail, and down a ways we saw Al Swihart, you know. $1 million smile, huh? Great. So I thank God for Al and what he does for this place and makes it look so nice. Then I got off the bus, saw all the people, and a lot of them knew me. And I got a lot of hugs from quite a few girls, but I won't mention who they were, since most of your husbands or girlfriends weren't looking. I got more hugs that first hour than I've gotten since our wedding anniversary on June the 13th from my wife. And I want you to know that I appreciate it. I think the older you get, the more you appreciate this. And I've come to realize this, you know Martin Buber, you know, I and Thou Man? He's a great man, and I think it was, I don't know, maybe it was his 80th birthday, you know, when he was in Israel, and all the kids who loved him, college students, they went up to his house. And they sang outside of his house, and happy birthday, or however you do there. And he came out on the portico and in his nightshirt, I guess, and a couple of lovely girls went up there and hung some flowers on him, and they hugged and kissed him. And then they asked him to make some, you know, brilliant statement. And he said, bring on more girls. And then for Beanie and Gertrude. And Gertrude, we can really hug, too. And Beanie, I mean, she makes the place so pleasant. And Beanie helps her. And then for those Beanie sings, we really had a great one tonight. And so I thank God for them. And then I ran into Julie, prolific Julie. And Paul the economist, and I'm glad to see he's not an economist everywhere. And I like that I really admire Paul because he says things the way that I would like to say them. And he always asks the critical question. And then for all the other faculty and staff, I know it's a hazard to go through these people. And I thought of Norm Hobble before. I guess I should really tell you this. I know Werner told me I had to be out of here before 9 because otherwise he loses money on the snack bar. But I want to tell you something about Norm. I was at Harvard a few weeks ago. And my friends invited me. They were going to a baptism, a private baptism in the home of a student. He was a PhD graduating in Old Testament. And he had written the service for the baptism of his second child. And I came into his modest apartment, and he was a kind of an arty guy. You know, he had some very lovely things on the wall. And then I found out that he had written some plays. And he'd studied Old Testament, you know, and boy, I says, this is Hobble all over again, you know. And he kind of reminded me a bit of him, and we sat down to a great meal. And finally I said, you don't know Norman Hobble, do you? He says, boy, I'll say I do. He was the inspiration for what I am. And so I thank God for Norm Hobble. And then I met Holly, you know, little Holly, huh? And I'm thankful to God that he has provided Holly with such fine parents in Harv and Jean. And for all the other children that Holly represents, you know, it really brings joy to my heart, you know, this ditch out here. That's a great thing, you know. That's a circus every day. Watch those kids in that, and then the kids after supper when we have the beanie sings. I don't know if you've ever watched them, but I spend most of my time watching them. I like to sing, but nobody likes it better than they do. And then for Fern Olsen and her gang, you know, with no fuss as far as I'm concerned, they get a lot of things done, and it's always in order. Her life of service has meant so much to so many of us. And then there's Terry Saturn, you know, he's always got that million-dollar smile, too. And for his contributions to the village for many years. And then I always look at this dancing servant up here that always brings joy to me, and that's Terry's. And then for the Collins, for all the great talent they represent. And for Larry, because he can recognize so many bird calls. And for Gene Swihart. Boy, I like to go fishing with her better than anybody I know, even Al. And for Wes Preeb. Holden Hero number one, the greatest miracle of how he got this village for us. And for Paul Fanning and what he's meant to us in the village. The greatest Presbyterian I know. And for John Wallace, who keeps us from getting to be two stuffed shirts, you know, takes the wind out of our sails now and then. And then for Andy, he's always happy to see me. 10 times a day, he's happy to see me. And then for Carol and for Warner, and their remarkable wives. And I hope they thank God for them every day. I help them in that. And I recall last fall, last September, to show the kind of people they are, I think, and really what their direction for the village. It's an interesting story. I introduced to you tonight Carla Fuller. She and her mother were coming up to Holden last September. They'd never been here. They picked up a couple of hitchhikers on the way. One of them was named Terry. He was a college dropout. He didn't know where he was going, but he realized you have to go somewhere. And he didn't really have any meaning for his life. And Darlene, in listening to him, suggested, well, you know, she was going to Holden Village, and it sounded kind of interesting to her. And she let him out somewhere in Oregon, I guess. A couple of days later, he showed up at the village. And he came in and he asked Werner and Carol, I don't have any money, and can I work here for a while and sort of work out in my board and room? Now, we don't get our workers that way, really. Although there is, some of you probably think there isn't an organization in this place, it really is. And they on faith, essentially said, sure, I mean, stay a while, huh? Well, it made a great change in Terry. It made the difference, I guess, between life and death. For he was converted. It changed a life. And when a life is changed, the world is changed. And that's how what Carol does for the village, and that's what Werner does. And I'd like to suggest this kind of thanks to all of you. And when I see these people, as I saw them come, and perhaps you already do it, and as I listened to the lectures here, and as I listened to Joanne last night, I thank God for Joanne, as I thank God for all of you for your contributions to the village. And I think it will, if you don't already do it, I recommend this to you. I thank God for the contributions made, especially by the students last night, that were very meaningful to me. So much for some of the particulars. There's a few other things that I'm most grateful to on this Thanksgiving Day, that God has given us life. We have a life in the image of God, with a stamp of freedom and eternity in our hearts. He has given us himself. He did not retreat to a far-off heaven, but he came to seek and to save us because he loves us. He has given us one another. He has joined man to man in the love of God, so that we can be brothers again. In the fellowship of Holden, we become strangely one in Christ. In Christ, we are knit together into an eternal family. He has given us a kingdom. We inhabit an imperishable kingdom, a kingdom that will never be destroyed. It is heartening, but often disturbing, that he is always reshaping us day by day to become more and more the kind of people who shall inherit the kingdom. Can we dare ask for more? As we are overwhelmed with his goodness, we bring our hearts and our gifts in a lifetime of praise. Praise for his great gift to us in his Son, for his grace and for his forgiveness. Now, that's so much for my opening remarks. The sermon tonight, or the sermonette, in Brokering's words, an unpolished sermon, is taken from Luke chapter 17, verses 11 through 19. On the way to Jerusalem, he was passing along between Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered a village, he was met by 10 lepers, who stood at a distance and lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy upon us. And when he saw them, he said to them, go and show yourselves to the priest. And as they went, they were cleansed. And then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice, and he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Now he was a Samaritan. And then said Jesus, were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner? And he said to him, rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well. Now for these 10 men, their life had been a life of loneliness and rejection, probably in desert places, perhaps in caves. They had been separated from their families, perhaps for years. Few of us can probably really grasp the loneliness, the futility, and the despair that must have been theirs. And suddenly their skin was clean, and they scattered, and perhaps some of them, to report the wonderful thing that had happened to them. But only one returned to give thanks. And this says, in the words of a scientist, 9 out of 10 don't return to give thanks. And that's like saying that most of the time people don't give thanks. And this is a terrible thing. And where were the 9? What are the reasons why they and why we do not give thanks to God, to our family, and to our friends? I'll list some of these for you. Sometimes we just forget to say thanks. Sometimes we're too proud to give thanks. Sometimes we say, well, we deserve the gift, or it's about time we got it, and we shouldn't have had the disease in the first place. So we just have a bad situation corrected because we deserved it. Or we might get so excited about it and ourselves that we forget the giver, like the child at Christmas. Or we doubt the value or the possibility of the gift. Or we can't believe that it's really true, so we wait to see, is it really true? And then we put off giving thanks until tomorrow, and tomorrow, and tomorrow. And sometimes the person we should have thanked dies. Or sometimes we ponder why the giver did it, and what he has in mind for you and me. Will we be obligated? We look at the price tag. Who will get the advantage? What's the hooker in it? Don't let any of these keep you from giving thanks. Don't be one of the 9. My plea is that you will return to give thanks. And there's a great promise if you return to give thanks. Something in this text that I had missed for all these many years until this last fall. Only the one who gave the thanks was really made whole. Only the one with a thankful heart is truly a whole person. The others are not complete. The 9 lepers who never returned to give thanks were not fully healed. If there is no gratitude, there is no resurrection dance. There is no lift, no lilt to life where there is no gratitude. So long as we think that life under God is a sort of tit for tat, of putting God into my debt so I can earn or deserve the gifts of life and for salvation, then there is no dance. That's why life is often so dull and unrewarding. Sin at its roots is ingratitude. It's sort of seizing life as if we have a right to it instead of receiving it as a gift. The gift is there, the shining of a star, Easter, the resurrection, there for the receiving. And the result is to join in on God's dance. At the price of his life, he gives us what we ask. We should never ask to be a child of God if we are not prepared to spend a lifetime in thanksgiving. And how do we thank him? Within God's kingdom, we are never unemployed because we are enlisted in his enterprises here. We offer thanks by serving him. And we have a special commission, and that is to help the poor and the unfortunate. You see, God makes no sandwiches for the hungry. He builds no fires for those who are cold. He makes no overcoats or shoes for our impoverished brother. He provides no home for the orphan. God serves no turkey dinners with or without cranberry sauce. He has left that to us. He says to us, the poor and the unfortunate are our responsibility, and we are to listen to them. We are to love them, to be their brothers, to be their sisters, to lift their poverty, to heal their wounds. That's the Thanksgiving call. The true measure of our thankfulness and our love for God and our fellow men is not how much we give, but how much of what we have we share. Yes, to love, to serve our brothers in need, this is the language of thanks which he calls us to use. To be servant of others is indeed to thank him. To serve others is to be little Christs to them. And I thank God then for all of you for making this place the most exciting thing in my life. Let us pray. O God, who hast proven thy love for mankind by sending us Jesus Christ our Lord, and has illumined our human life by the radiance of his presence, I give thee thanks for this thy greatest gift, for our Lord's days upon the earth, for the record of his deeds of love, for the words he spoke, for our guidance and help, for his obedience unto death, for his triumph over death, and for the presence of his Spirit with us now. Grant that the remembrance of the blessed life that once was lived out on this common earth, under these ordinary skies, may remain with us in all the tasks and duties of each day. Let us remember his eagerness not to be ministered unto, but to minister, his sympathy with suffering of every kind, his bravery in face of his own suffering, his meekness of bearing so that when reviled, he reviled not again, his steadiness of purpose in keeping to his appointed task, his simplicity, his self-discipline, his serenity of spirit, his complete reliance upon thee, his Father in heaven. And in each of these ways, give us grace to follow in his footsteps. And then to thy care, O Father, I would commend the members of the Holden community, beseeching you to keep them safe, to be present in their hearts tonight as a spirit of power and of joy and of restfulness. Amen. Thank you for the day.